Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, sheriff for 24 years in Arizona. I was just on the Audrey Russo radio show. What a great person she is. We need more people like her to go public and tell it like it is. And also she talked about my book, which I'm very proud of, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, an American legend. So once again, Audrey is doing a great job getting that message out. And anytime she wants to talk to me, I'm ready for action.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. President Trump took a left turn and stepped back from our great ally, Israel, and a step toward our enemies. Will this new trajectory harm or help America? We're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Vallely is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Vallely served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operation included Europe and the Pacific Rim countries. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Vallely has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He's a best-selling author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Major General Paul Vallely. Welcome back, Paul.
Well, thank you, Audrey. It's such a pleasure to do your show every month. I really appreciate the invitation.
Thank you so much. That's so kind. And we're going to jump in with this. Recently, you and other members of the Citizens Commission on National Security, a watchdog group for the listeners that includes retired generals, colonels, intelligence professionals, journalists, and policy experts, you wrote an open letter to President Trump concerning the Memorandum of Understanding. Now, in that, I'll just pick on one statement and then we could talk about the rest. You mentioned to the president, your decision to move forward with a memorandum of understanding with Iran crosses a line we believe you yourself clearly drew and repeatedly warned the American people you would not cross. Well, I absolutely agree with that. But would you expound on that for us? And would you also share what further you shared in that open letter to the president?
Well, I think the point of our staff there at the Citizens Commission, which is over 20 years old, by the way, and when we looked at this stalling, and we go back to what General MacArthur said, there's no substitute for victory. So when you're going into a conflict like we've done into Iran, that we finalize it. You can't stretch things out. We know the leadership, or whatever you want to call it, in Tehran will delay. They'll lie. They have a history of that. They're not honest people. Yeah. They want to destroy the West. They want to destroy Christians. They're an evil empire. Yeah. And so let's close it out. I mean, we've closed down basically their nuclear capability. And so our point was, let's focus now on getting a new government and helping the people of Iran, some 80 million that have been so brutalized by the past administrations and the mullahs that have been running the country. Yeah. And so to me, that's more important now than anything. And also the ability to, and it's important that the Straits of Hormuz, where there's a focus now, and it is open, by the way,
right,
ships going in and out every day. But those are the two more important things. But I want to focus, and we want to focus on, what can we do for the Iranian people to make it a free society and a democratic one?
Right.
That's the main point of the letter.
Right, right, exactly. And of course, the money that they've been allowing them for the past 10 days to receive, that money is not going to the Iranian people through the IRGC. Iran has been insisting for years that it does not seek nuclear weapons, but the New York Post just reported that the IRGC media says that Iran must develop a nuclear bomb to protect, as they put it, peace and calm. And this is despite the pledge they gave President Trump. So here's the question. Who is ill-advising the president on this? Because he draws a line and they violate it, and then he goes back and he draws another line. It just keeps going. It sounds like Obama, because that's what Obama did.
Obama did nothing. I mean, it's a total different story. You can't compare him to Obama at all. And he'll do things at his own speed. He's got good resources. He's got a great staff. He's getting feedback, which is what a leader does, whether it's positive or negative. And he'll make the decision at the time he chooses. He knows we control the whole situation now, except for some of these drones and that are being popped out from locations inside Iran. And he needs to do it. We're just trying to push this to a conclusion. Get it over with. But we got to focus on what we do. If we have to put boots on the ground, let's put the Saudis and the UAE and the other Arab countries to take over basically Karg Island and the northern part of the Straits of Hormuz. Those should be the boots on the ground. We can provide air, sea, intelligence for that, but we need to get them involved to a degree, in my opinion.
Right. But it doesn't look like they're interested in doing that, the Saudis.
Well, they got to make them interested.
And how do you do that?
Pressure, money, support. We've been supporting the Saudis in an army for over, goodness, I don't know, 30, 40 years, providing them aircraft, all of our intelligence capability. So let's have them up, put some people on the ground. Let's get this thing done.
So basically, in the letter, you're sharing about just getting this, I mean, because it seems almost as if, at least in the eyes of the American people, it looks as if this is stalled now. And then you had this, the IRGC saying that they intend to use the money to build a nuclear weapon. They've said that themselves in their own
media.
They're
not going to get that. That's not going to happen. They can say all they want. They're like Baghdad Bob back in those days.
Yeah, I remember that.
in Iraq. They talk. They've never been, you can't believe them.
Right.
And so they'll put out stuff for their people to sort of propaganda their own people to convince them we're winning. But they're not. They're not winning at all. So now it's the final coup. Let's get it over with. Let's close out the last 10% here and then focus on ways to support the Iranian people for a new government.
Right.
The group I'm with, Cyrus Force, is a Iranian organization in the United States out of Florida.
Right.
And they've already written a new constitution for Iran. And it's beautiful. It's really well done.
So how do we move these? I mean, the whole point is we wanted to, you know, when the president said he was not interested in regime change, that's a little ridiculous because, of course, we are. The Iranian people need to have their own government by their choice. That means there's going to be a change. Yet the IRGC still seems to be hanging on. How do we get rid of them?
Kill them.
I agree. Can you get that message to the president?
Because... Yeah, we did. You got to get rid of evil. Yes. The only way to get the evil East people seems to make them go to Allah early.
And talking about some more characters that are evil, Turkey's PM Erdogan is an Islamist, just clear, and he hates the U.S. and Israel. That's no secret. Both Republicans and Democrats oppose President Trump's insane plan at this point to sell F-35 fighter jets to Turkey. Wow. Now, this is the Greek City Times, and they reported June 26. They stated, opposition is mounting in Washington over reports that the Trump administration is considering supplying F-35 fighter jets and advanced fighter engines for Turkey's indigenous combat aircraft program. Leading Republican and Democrat figures have publicly warned against any move to strengthen Turkey's military capabilities while Erdogan remains in power, citing his policies toward Greece, Cyprus, and Israel, and Turkey's relations with Russia and Iran. So this plan of President Trump seems to lack wisdom. What do you see going on here?
Well, they're a member of NATO, okay?
Which they shouldn't be, you know that.
But they don't do much to support NATO. Of course, NATO's so weak anyhow at this point in time. And it's like some previous military sales. If we don't do it, they'll go to Russia. That's what Erdogan will do. You know, it's very Islamic, but also Turkey, if you've been there, is very European in a way. A very open... The southern part of Turkey is very Islamic in nature, and I've been there many times. So from the standpoint of Erdogan, he plays both sides, and we have a big base, of course, in Turkey that we've had for years. Matter of fact, when I went to Turkey the first time, I parachuted into Turkey mm-hmm. with a group from NATO many years ago. So. And I've worked when I went into Syria and did some other operations in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I would always go through Turkey to get to wherever I had to go.
Yeah. But you do know that Erdogan is not an honest broker. They are a member of NATO, and a lot of people warned about that years ago. But he's an Islamist, and he's dangerous. Yeah. And we know what he thinks of us, and we know what he thinks of Israel, our greatest ally in the region. So should the president be doing this? I don't care that he's a member of NATO. Should he really be doing this, knowing who he is?
Well, he may not. I don't know. It depends what agreement they come up with.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about China many times. It appears that America and China are entering a new Cold War over AI. The nations that control the chips, data centers, electricity, cloud networks, and advanced computing systems behind AI will hold enormous power over the future global order. Now, AI race now centers on infrastructure. The new phase is about who controls the infrastructure behind them. Chips, I mentioned, data centers, energy supply, networking systems, and cloud platforms have become the strategic battlefield. Whoever controls that full technology stack will gain major advantages in economic productivity, intelligence operations, military capability, and technological innovation. So what's the significance of this to our national security?
Well, it's very important, and it's the countries are positioning themselves now, how they're going to participate in AI. Of course, our companies are doing very well. We're well ahead of everybody in the world, but we have to protect that, particularly from the Chinese as much as we can. But they have brilliant people in China that they know how to get into our systems. They know how to copy them, and that's what they'll continue to do. And so it's a race to the future, just like outer space is right now. This is going to be, we have to be a good watchdog and protect our companies. And I think the presidents of these different AI companies realize that. And so security is absolutely paramount.
Yeah, because you mentioned that they steal technology. Yeah, they are infamous or notorious for stealing intellectual property, and of course that means or includes the AI information. I mean, any of the technology. I have no doubt that they're stealing it from somewhere. They do have brilliant people there, but they do steal a lot of intellectual property. So.
They're not
going to
stop either.
No, they're not going to. Are we safeguarding, I hope, what we know? Yeah, I hope so.
Of course we are.
Yeah. We haven't in the past, especially under Clinton. We didn't protect any of that.
Not like we should have. You're exactly right.
Yeah, but hopefully now we are. So we are, of course, this weekend approaching our 250th birthday of this country. So I'm asking all the guests this week on, would you share what this celebration, the 250th of our freedom, means to you personally?
Well, it means a lot, and I'll go back in my history. I went to West Point. West Point was founded in 1802 by George Washington. As an engineer school. And from that date, West Point is signified or really stood for duty, honor, and country. And that's what we're talking about here, duty to our country, duty to our families, we have to have honor, we have to have honesty, and it's got to be passed on to our younger people. And that's one of the problems. Our younger people don't know our history very well, appears, from what I can see. And that's very important. But duty, honor, and country is extremely important for us to understand. And if we don't have that duty and honor for our country, then we will fail. But I have confidence in the vast amount of the American people. And when I look at what's happening in the country now, we're only talking about 6 or 7 rogue states that are not supporting the birthday, the 250th birthday. And that's sad. But we've got a movement to communism in this country that's unparalleled.
Oh, you know, I wasn't aware of that, and I bet you many of the listeners weren't. What states? There are a few states that are not honoring that birthday?
Yeah, they wouldn't show up and put even some kind of display on the what's going on there at in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And Hawaii, surprisingly, which is very liberal, is also one of them.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, exactly. They don't understand that they're where the freedoms come from. And it's a Marxist state of mind, stupidity. Yeah. They don't realize where it came from, and they couldn't do that in a country because the mindset is Marxist. You go to a communist country, guess what? You won't have any of the freedoms you have to do anything that you're doing, and they just don't connect those dots, do they?
Yeah. Well, your lines need to go back to Pearl Harbor. There it is.
Exactly. Our founders, most Americans still don't realize how much they sacrificed in order for us to be able to have the freedoms we have. We've taken them for granted. Yeah, and they gave everything, blood and treasure, and many of them died penniless.
And, that's right.
Everyone doesn't realize that. And of course, as you just said, they're not learning it in school because sadly, communists got into the universities, into all of academics and stopped teaching that. But we're presenting communism as something that's really not that bad.
Yeah, just ask the countries that went through it. They don't do their homework's the problem.
No, yeah. Well, they think that we can't see what's going on in the world, like in North Korea, and we can't see what's going on in Cuba, which of course we're going to see come to an end now soon, we hope. All you have to do is look at North Korea. Oh, you can't look into North Korea. That's right, because they control everything. But it's a sad ignorance. But thank God for the founders, and thank God for people like you that sacrificed so that we could remain free, and all those over the years in 250 years that have given their all, and some have given their greatest sacrifice, and so that we can be talking right now, doing what we're doing. So thank you, and thank the Lord for that. Paul, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and order all of your books, including Beyond Treason, Betrayal and Treason in America, and The Dismantling of America? Where can they do all that?
Well, go to StandUpAmericaUS.org, www.StandUpAmericaUS. And by the way, you can use any of the material that we posted there, all of our studies, all the recommendations we made to President Trump and the current administration. We've given him a lot of information from not only the Citizens Commission, which I helped found over 20 years ago in Washington, as well as the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. So we've been around a long time. We need your support. We have a great staff, but we do have an overhead, so donations will be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. And as always, I will have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on air button, and right under the show description, you'll find everything you need to follow the general's work. Thanks so much, Paul, for sharing your brilliant assessments on these issues with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.